When the owl asks who, the answer is always him. It's time for the most interesting man in the world, Fish Talk with the Duck.
And him is the award-winning editor for Outdoor Canada's fishing product, each and every issue. He is the man behind it. He's also the man who writes more about fishing on the internet than anybody else in the world. In the world. Notice the way I went deep on it, in the world.
Yes.
We call him the Doc, but his name is Gord Pizer. Good morning, Doc.
Hi, Ange. How are you doing?
Doing great, man. How are things up in the God's country in Kenora District?
You know, we that big weather bomb that swept across the plains in the U.S., it just barely touched us on Friday. Friday and Thursday actually came through Thursday night. I was out ice fishing. I don't. There's a video on YouTube that's gone viral out of Minnesota, where the state trooper was blown right across the highway. I don't know if you saw it or not. I was out on Lake of the Woods, and that's the way it was. I honestly had to be behind my quad. I think they got winds up to 100 kilometers.
Wow.
But here it was around 50, 55, 60, and it was all you could do to stand up and not get blown across the ice.
Wow. What does that do to the ice, by the way, Gord?
You know, if it was ever cracked anywhere, or you had open water, like a Lake Erie type situation, or maybe even Simcoe, it would certainly split it. And you often hear about anglers getting caught on those huge ice drift flows.
Yeah.
And that's certainly one of the ways that it happens. But fortunately, or unfortunately, probably is better the case, we're still locked from shore to shore.
You've got still 132 feet of ice?
Not quite, Ange, but and the good news is probably the top, I would say the top, at least a third, almost the top half, is that crystalline ice where all the snow that's melted, it's now percolated down. And people always think that ice on lake, when you've got ice on the lake, that it melts. And that's not what happens at all. What happens is when it finally gets warm enough, it just falls apart. It turns from an ice cube, if you will, to a slushy, and then it just falls apart, and that's the way it goes. But I got to tell you something, Ange. Got to tell you the most. I've never had this happen before on Thursday. I'm out fishing for walleyes, and actually got into some smallmouth bass, some incredibly big smallmouth as well. That's another story. Anyway, I'm jigging for walleyes, and I look, and my transducer's going down the hole. You know how you put the sonar unit, and then your transducer goes down the hole.
Yeah.
And so I'm jigging, and then all of a sudden I notice my transducer's moving all around. And
no!
I thought, obviously, that my line, I've caught my line, and then I look, and I see my line's 8 inches away from the transducer.
Oh,
I look down my hole, at least a 15-pound northern. I'm going to post the picture I took of the transducer. Wait till you look at the bite mark out of the transducer from the northern.
Well, you know, I mean, I'm shocked. I'm dying to see this image, but really, it makes sense, right?
You
mean, you drop that down there, it's no different than dropping a jig. They see it, they think it's food, and the bigger the better for them this time of year, right?
And, you know, the other thing, I think, it probably had followed two or three walleyes that I had caught.
Yep.
So it's probably down cruising around, and then it sees these walleyes coming up, and they go up the hole. And then it either got mad, or it saw this black thing hanging just beneath the bottom of the ice. It literally attacked my transducer. And you know how hard those transducers are, the plastic?
Yep.
It took a chunk right out of it.
Yeah, you got to send that out there, man. I want to see that. We'll put it on.
Yeah, I'm going to post that on Monday, probably.
Fantastic. What a great story. See, and that's what fishing does, right? It allows you. See, it's not, and I keep telling folks this. Yes, we're fishing crazed, and we love that bite, and we love that moment where when the action is at its peak. But honestly, it's not about that. It's about creating wonderful stories like the one Doctor shared with us. It happens regularly in fishing. It's fantastic.
And you know, in the summer, and you often hear about people that, you know, they'll be sitting on a dock and they put their legs over the edge of the, there was a guy in KBI, the Kenora Bass International here, a couple of years ago, and 150 teams, and of course all the boats are pulled up against the docks, and he's waiting for his turn to weigh in. Really, really hot day. He was dressed in shorts. He put his foot, sandals over the side of the dock and swishing his foot around. He got bit by a muskie.
Oh, I know. I've heard so many of those.
Yeah.
Nature is wonderful, man.
Pretty cool.
Absolutely. What's going on this week in your world?
You know, the northern pike bite. This is what we've been waiting for. So, and we've actually been scouting a couple of spots. So we're gonna go exploring today and tomorrow, and we're hoping for one of those big, really big northerns. You know, the biggest one I ever got on camera. We were filming actually in Fisherman Television, and I got a 32-pound or 54-inch northern.
Wow.
And Doug Stang, he said on camera, he said it was the biggest northern he's ever seen in his life. So,
no kidding.
Yeah, wow. We're gonna go searching around and hopefully now, find one bigger.
Now, okay, I'm curious. I'm curious with what you just said. I mean, it's one thing doing it during the summer period and the ISO period, but it's a whole other ball game trying to target specific species, especially giant fish, when you're ice fishing. And I'll tell you why I say that. First of all, it's not just a matter of moving boat to spot from spot to spot, or running sonar from spot to spot, or running, you know, some of the high tech graphs from spot to spot, because ice fishing involves so much more than that, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you don't have the luxury of being able to move around as you do in open water. So my question to you, if I'm targeting trophy pike, am I not going to go to my best walleye spot?
No.
Wow.
And the northern pike spawn early. They'll be spawning in about 2 weeks' time, 3 weeks' time. Mm-hmm. They actually move under the ice, and they'll be set up very, very close, immediately adjacent to where they're going to spawn. So you have to ask yourself, where are they going to be in 2 weeks spawning? If you can find an inflowing creek, stream, river that's coming into a lake, and then in front of it, you've got that big delta. So think of where there's a creek, stream, river, a big delta, muddy delta in front of it that in the summer's got lily pads, coontail, cabbage weeds. That's what they're looking for. So they're cruising right now. They're moving under the ice to move toward those areas. And because they spawn in areas, they spawn right around vegetation and fallen trees, their eggs are really, really adhesive. So they need to lay them where the eggs will actually attach to something. Because if they fall right into the mud, there's no oxygen there. So it's anoxic, and the eggs won't mature, and they'll die, in fact. So they're looking for those weedy deltas right in front of those river mouths. That's where we'll be set up.
And what sort of depth are you looking for?
You know, that's a great question, because, you know, what you were saying about earlier, right now location is the key. Right. Yeah, you can drill more holes, and we'll probably drill 20 or 30 holes and keep moving that way, but it's not like being in a boat, so you really are restricted, and you're only allowed two tip-ups per person. So if there's two, three of us, there'll only be six tip-ups set. Depth. If you can find a rocky point, a little rocky point, and it might only be 8, 9, 10 feet off that little rocky point, something different, and they'll stage around that little rocky point, they'll mill around, and then when they come to spawn, they just move that extra 100 yards, 200 yards up the creek they go. Now, you mentioned walleyes, Ange, and yeah. we're walleyes often spawn in those same creeks,
right?
And because the pike spawned first, they're now finished, and in come the suckers, in come the walleyes, in come the perch, in come the smallmouth, and they just dine on them.
And when you're trying to isolate these areas for pre-spawn pike, Are you tend to find them hugging the bottom? Are they just kind of sitting mid-range? Are they near the top of the water column?
Very cool question, because what we love to find is shallower than 10 feet. And if you're shallower than 10 feet, then we set the dead baits right in the middle of the water column. And that way, if a pike's coming just under the ice, the bait's only 4 feet below it. If it's coming along the bottom, it just looks up and there's that dead bait hanging 2-3 feet above it. And if it's coming in mid-water column as well, it's smack dab on its nose. And nothing beats a big dead bait. If you gave me 8-inch, 10-inch suckers that are alive, I'd dump everyone on the ice and use them as a dead bait.
And why is that?
What's the best speed for turned off a largemouth or smallmouth when they're kind of neutral and negative? Throwing a Senko out, it's dead sticking. And if your bait is hanging in the middle of the water column edge, it looks like that dead bait looks like it spotted the predator. And what does it do? It freezes. And the pike actually sees that dead bait there and it goes, oh my God, I've been spotted. And it comes a little closer and a little closer, and then in the blink of the eye, it eats it.
Boom. My friend, that's why you're the doc, and that's why I enjoy talking to you each and every Saturday morning here on the show. I appreciate it. If you want to get more information like that, folks, check him out. He's at outdoorcanada.ca. You can Google Gord Pizer. He's on the Ontario website, Northern Ontario portal, with great information and a whole bunch more. Doc, thanks once again, buddy.
Have a great weekend.
You too. I'll talk to you next Saturday. Gord Pizer, Outdoor Canada's award-winning columnist and editor of that fine publication. That are it, Stephen. Go get that hair looked after on behalf of the entire team. Stephen Labadie behind the glass. JW, our producer. Derek Brandeo, Jessica Ellis. I'm Angela Viola. Have a great weekend, folks. We'll talk to you next Saturday.